Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly.
I'm ready.
Star Trek Away Missions. Oh.
Okay.
Free League Summer Sale. Mm-hmm. 5 parsecs from the Titan Forge.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Spire 5th edition. Anniversary, 5th anniversary edition.
Oof, okay. You almost got me real mad there. All right.
5th edition. Yeah. And Monty Python Zombicide. That'll be a... Oh, come
on. Could that be first so we don't... Sorry, no, I'm not going to change the order, but that's going to end.
Okay, we'll start there. Okay.
Sorry.
Here we go. No, we're starting.
Throwing a spanner in the works here. All right.
We'll start there. Okay. Just to see... just to see how it goes. So I guess this is our new segment, the come on.
Which is a lot worse than not the best.
Yeah, right. So come on, who used to be Simon, a lot of people said Simon, and they said, no, call us come on, because it sounded weird. But both are not great. So cool mini or not, right. That's the abbreviation for.
Which so, I feel like started kind of like as like a Facebook kind of thing, where it was like, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm like, is this a cool mini or not? Right.
Yeah, I think it was like a gimmick, like they had forums and stuff.
Yep.
Because they got the rights for Confrontation Minis after that company went under, Rackham went under, and there's a bunch of weird stuff. And I think it came from, because Rackham kind of created this like new type of painting that people were doing, the non-metallic metals, okay. You know, the light source kind of stuff. So real, you know, fun, fancy painting. So I think they started having boards where people were posting, you know. And that was the you know, instead of hot or not,
is this
a cool mini? But they've gotten way out of hand, so they haven't done anything good for a long time.
Bold statement.
Yeah, okay. So they've been doing, you know, they did some great Eric M. Lang games, you know, Blood Rage, mm-hmm. and a lot of the his series of kind of the, I'm totally blanking. So the series of kind of there's the Japanese one, the Viking one, and then the Egyptian one.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Kind of area control, you know, combat,
right,
try to kill your guys intentionally games. And so good rule sets and stuff. And now it's just been licensed stuff. They've done Marvel Chibi Universe stuff and all kinds of okay stuff. And they're leaning real heavy into their Zombicide original kind of property. So they've been doing, you know, Zombicide. There was a Zombicide Marvel, I believe, and they updated it to a sci-fi setting. There's a modern setting, and then of course there's the Black Plague, which is their fantasy setting. The character designer is excellent.
Like, that's what you were saying.
Yeah, for those games. Yeah. But and the games, I've heard people say that the rule set is fun and it's playable, but they are really milking the hell out of this. So
I think I've played Zombicide, but I gotta wonder. Mm-hmm. Is this like the monopoly of miniature games? Where like, how is it just a different wrapping?
Yes.
Or are the mechanics different?
I don't know. It sounds like there is some mechanical difference, but I can't figure out how this would work. I don't understand how this would possibly work. So grab your herring and spam for the upcoming Monty Python Zombicide expansion. Oof. Okay, so Marvel Zombies.
Gotta get through it. Okay.
Yeah, Marvel Zombies was one of the last things that they had done licenses for this property. And come on, has just announced their latest expansion is Monty Python's Flying Circus Zombicide. So this is for second edition, which was, I think, recently kickstarted. And it adds a lot of Monty Python theme stuff. So new survivors and then new zombies, I guess, new equipment. Oh, no, I guess it's new survivors, new equipment, and new missions.
Okay.
And there's things like Arthur Nudge, the lumberjack, the minister of silly walks, all that great stuff. And the one thing, I guess, so the one one thing that can be used as either a companion, a survivor, or a single abomination is the group of Gumbies. So I don't know if that's still politically correct, but the guys with the, they just had the handkerchiefs tied on their heads, and so they're making fun of something that nobody and nobody outside the UK has any idea what they're talking about, but it's become iconic because it's, you know, through repetition on PBS, we all know those characters. So there's this group of, I think, 6 of these models, and you can use them together as a, they're so stupid that there has to be 6 of them to be one person.
Okay.
Or you can use them as an abomination, so as a big monster, or as companions for your other Monty Python characters.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's 3 parts of the funniest joke in the world that you can recover. as a survivor, so you can work together to do that and herring, fish slapping dance and chopping down the mightiest tree in the forest as, of course, a lumberjack. And I'm sure there's infinite spam references. But why? I mean, I guess it's like, it's a property. It's like, oh, this is a geek property, and maybe it's not, you know, they just had the role playing, the tabletop role playing right. game. Was that who? Exalted Funeral?
Something, I think it was
Exalted Funeral. Yeah. So somebody got the license.
It was someone I generally respect and kind of went, oh.
Yeah, really? Yeah. And they leaned, you know, heavily into, yeah, that humor. And I mean, this is like British humor from the 70s, and it still, it holds up because it's you know, kind of clever and very absurdist. Mm-hmm. But it's become almost a nerd cliche now.
Like, I think, and I think that's it. Because when you said, okay, when you said it's like, you know, British humor from the 70s, my brain kind of went, oh, hold on. On Humble Bundle, mm-hmm. I think the most recent bundle is Warlock and Warp Star, mm-hmm. right? And it's like British science fiction from the 80s with that 80s sensibility. I'm like, well, okay, they're different genres, different things. But I'm like, what made me kind of turn up my nose at one, mm-hmm. and go, oh, but I kind of want to see this other one, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's what you said. It's like Monty Python has become this like iconic cornerstone, maybe that's a bit extreme, or like it's the things you reference during the game, right?
Right,
except our group, which I think we fucking banned it, where it's just like it's no. it's too much, right? And
yeah,
I think that's coloring my opinion here, right? But like I actually kind of want to know how this works, because it's not like Zombicide has that much flavor in my opinion,
right?
But it's kind of like you're fighting zombies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would the Monty Python Zombicide, and I can't believe I'm fucking saying that, would the Monty Python Zombicide expansion,
mm-hmm.
is it going to be like we're all playing a game and there's one person at the table who's kind of throwing everything off and mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. playing with like the vibe and is kind of like messing stuff up? Or is it just like, no, we're all playing the Monty Python Zombicide expansion, so be silly.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Right. Yeah. If I can tolerate that. Yeah.
It has to be the latter, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's like, oh, like right. rescue with this one. Like, chopped on the fucking what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So for their Kickstarters, they would have a lot of guests, artists, and stuff do like, you know, maybe characters from their games or whatever that would be inserted. So I guess Zombicide is kind of modular in that you can because it's just the stats of the character, and you can, you know, the art of the model is a little different or whatever. I guess it still works. But yeah, this seems like they're like specifically having like, you know, Python themed missions and stuff to make it, you know, more whatever. But yeah, it's odd. It's a really odd choice. And some of these characters, like, how are you going to, are they really going to be recognizable as miniatures on a table? So yeah, it's odd. And they are kind of, you know, are kind of just like most of the stuff that Command does, like very, stylized and cartoonish and, yeah, kind of interesting, but I don't understand this. Maybe the license, maybe enough Python members have passed away that the license now is like maybe. Getting more affordable, or there's less critical eyes, you know, looking at these things. Maybe. But yeah, so so pre-order is up, and it's due out April of next year. So sign up to
maybe all you'll get is like a box that says April Fool's.
Yeah, April. That came out on April 1st. How convenient. Well, speaking of odd miniatures, this caught me a little off guard. At first, I was excited. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'm actually maybe a little bit more interested in this, and this is weird for me to say, than I am in Star Wars Shatterpoint, because it's all the Clone Wars stuff.
Right,
it's all the prequel stuff. But I saw Star Trek Away Missions, and I'm like, whoa, miniatures. And if it's cheap board game miniatures, and then the RPG, and there's battle maps for the 2D20 RPG. Okay, this is cool. And if it's cheap and it's a board game... But then I saw the miniatures. But anyhow.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what these miniatures look like. Yeah, okay.
So Star Wars Away Missions.
Star Trek.
Thank you.
Dude, we're just going to get horrible nerd.
I'm going to go back and forth because I said Shatterpoint, so now I'm going to be all screwed up. So this is not a ridiculously overpriced, oversized, you know, skirmish game set in the Star Trek world. It is a board game, specifically a sci-fi miniatures board game is what they're calling it.
Okay.
So it's going to have board game miniatures, not, you know, nothing that's going to be probably very paintable. But Gale Force 9, so who usually does decent quality stuff, they have this license to take the iconic Star Trek characters for a quick, easy-to-play combat board game with different scenarios, and their starter set for away missions is the Federation versus the Borg. So it's basically factions, like four recognizable factions so far, with a scenario and their like kind of iconic battles.
Okay.
So the Federation versus the Borg starter set is the Battle of Woof 359, which is Riker's OA team versus the Unimatrix of the Borg led by Locutus.
Right.
So yeah, kind of like classic. So that's good for Next Generation. And they're also offering two expansions. One is a Klingon expansion, which is Gowron's Honor Guard, and then the Romulan expansion, which is Sela's Infiltrators, right?
Okay.
So these are recognizable. It seems like it's all next generation stuff. Hopefully they'll do some classic, like original series stuff, but
I was going to say, like we discussed with Star Wars stuff before, who knows how the Star Trek eras are chopped up for licensing?
Oh, right.
Maybe the only thing they can, we got the license for Next Generation.
Right.
Let's do that one.
Yeah, this probably would have choosing these like kind of iconic clashes and stuff might be a good setting and have the most appeal.
I'm not a Trekkie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are iconic scenes from like the Shatner era.
Right.
But like, what are the away teams from that? Just like one person and a bunch of red shirts, right? Like that's the first thing that pops in my head. Huh?
Right. Yeah. So this game is fixable. So you can, I'll get to that in a minute. So you can download the rule book right now if you want to see mechanically how this works. And it's kind of how you would expect. There's cards with your stats on them and you have your miniature. And then there's like cards that, kind of randomize the something's happening, some effects the board and some equipment and things that you can have, and of course there's objectives for whatever scenario you're running.
Kind of like a board you move around on?
Yeah. So it's not squares. You're not measuring anything. It's kind of zones.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So kind of irregular zones broken up on these like tile. These tile boards that you lay out for different missions.
Okay. So far, I'm with it.
Yeah. And the campaigns, each of them, you have different configurations. Yep. So you have a couple of tiles and you can get a lot of use out of them.
Okay. I'm down for this. Yeah.
And then I saw the miniatures and they look like, so if you go to a shopping mall or the boardwalk or something and someone draws your caricature of you on a skateboard and they're weird. So they're kind of the, it gets 25-28 millimeter scale and their bodies are kind of normal size and scaled that way. And then their heads just, I guess so you could recognize the famous characters or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Their head, they've got these like weird bobblehead things. Okay. And it looks, the Klingons look insane with these giant heads. And I was like, so maybe they're trying to take it away from, this isn't going to be a competitive, there aren't going to be tournaments. This is just a fun, throw some dice and run around on a board as Star Trek characters. But so that was really disappointing because I thought, this is a simple, cheap game that has a couple of different factions. That's fun. That's nice. And I really want some stuff to, that's affordable that could support the role-playing game. But Modiphius does have that, as a matter of fact. So they'd produced a whole series of miniatures, away teams.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Away team miniatures for the Star Trek Adventures 2D20 role-playing game. And it not exactly one-to-one, but a lot. I think you can pretty much do a Romulan, a Klingon, and then a Federation and a Borg away team and replace those horrible miniatures. The art's not going to match, of course, on the cards. But you can proxy some of these. And they're nice sculpts, decent scale. They're available both in plastic that was produced for the Kickstarter and also STLs. Okay. So you could replace all the miniatures for like, £20, for the board game. And if you, but
who
then print
produces
them.
The board game?
It's Gale Force 9.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So that was a little surprising because, they usually do nice stuff, like the stuff they did for Dune and everything, really good design and good quality components. It's like, this is an odd choice.
Well,
and it's obviously a deliberate design choice, but
first thing that pops into my head is, what kind of audience were they going for with this game, right?
Mm.
Okay, like, cool. The bobblehead things are maybe going to appeal to some people, right? And like, okay, you want the ability to tell which kind of iconic character it is, I guess. But if Modiphius miniatures already exist, maybe Gale Force 9 or whoever did it said, like, we don't want
to
compete.
Yeah, and have to be basically duplicating.
Right. We don't want to duplicate what they've done. or like we don't want to have people complaining about like quality, but like look at these when like you could, why did you have miniatures that are like this? So right. Maybe they just said, okay, we're going to do something that if it's just like a family fun kind of game, people won't care. Or miniatures, miniature aficionados are either probably already going to have these or might replace them anyway. So
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I don't think there are any other. They did a ship battle game, but I don't think Star Trek has a miniatures. You know, like Star Wars has like five or so. There's a ton of miniatures games for Star Wars. But I think Star Trek doesn't have that. So maybe they were afraid to make it look like they're trying to do, you know, Star Trek Legions or something. They wanted to stay away from that. And OA Team is a good way to kind of like say this is going to be a small group versus a small group. And yeah, I think a lot of it really sounded good to me.
Except for the bobblehead miniatures.
Yeah. But I guess that they're just trying to get across. Yeah, we're not, this isn't serious. We're probably not going to support the hell out of this. This is going to be a game with a couple of expansions and you can do some fun stuff. And but it sounds like the different away teams or the teams are themed well because the Klingons are good at melee, the Romulans are good at stealth. So it like it makes sense. And but maybe the mechanics are so light that anybody, you know, with any kind of that wants to scratch a war gaming itch or a skirmish game itch is just going to be like, ugh, yeah. So it might be too simple.
What's the price tag?
Pretty reasonable. So you can pre-order it now. So the retail price is $60 US for two teams, you know, all the tiles, all the cards, everything to play the game. And then the expansions are $25. But on online retailers, that knocks it down to about $43 for the starter set, and then about 18 for the expansion. So you can get them pretty cheap.
Not horrible, but a bit.
Yeah, but the way that they're looking, and probably the quality is going to be very board gamey.
Right.
But yeah, if you ever wanted a bobblehead Riker miniature, well, you're in luck.
Does it come with a chair you can swing its leg over?
Right. So yeah, that was kind of an odd thing. So odd miniatures, but don't worry, we're gonna we'll talk about some good miniatures coming up in a little bit. But first, Free League Summer Sale. Hmm. So I just wanted to mention this and put a link to it. So anyone that's interested, because we talk about a lot of Free League games. Yeah. So this is their sale, up to 50% off, but you're probably going to get about between 17 to 22% off of most of the stuff they're offering. So it's Blade Runner, Alien, Lord of the Rings, the 5e conversion, not One Ring. And I'm sure there might be some stuff up there. No, yeah, they do. They are saying One Ring. Tales from the Loop, Saborum, and Coriolis are all kind of up there. So if you want physical books, or I think even... digital stuff is on sale as well. Yes. They do have the Blade Runner Reptitech bundle, which is the core book, starter set, and screen, which is a really good deal. And because that gives you the first case file and all the cool like newspapers and stuff to throw on the table, as well as the giant map of Los Angeles. What is it? Los Angeles in that era. And the Lord of the Rings is there as a 5e bundle. So you can 5e rules to play your Lord of the Rings. But so I'll put a link to that. And it's worth checking out if there's anything that you wanted to pick up. But also remember, too, if you're kind of waiting, you'd like a physical book, every Kickstarter that Free League does, they always allow the other books as add-ons.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that, and then that's free shipping, basically. So you're paying full retail for the book, but you get it, you know, shipped to you for free if you add it on in their various Kickstarters. But who knows when the next one of those will be.
Yeah, really.
But back to good miniatures. So this was kind of a surprise for me. And this is the future. This is what, you know, I've kind of been waiting this, like, cooperation, this collaboration to happen.
I'm ready to hear all about the future.
Yes, here comes the future. So 5 Parsecs from Home is a solo adventure war game. So you have a crew of galactic trailblazers, and you know, basically as you would in a skirmish game, you do missions, you level up, your members die, you hire new ones, and you're just doing jobs. Right. And the cool thing is the battles are procedurally generated, so a huge combination of enemies, weapons, battlefield circumstances, and objectives make it very different each time you're playing it, and then you've got loot and you progress your crew. So Titanforge, 5 Parsecs is being published now by... Modiphius.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was on the Modiphius website, and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, because I've got a digital copy of the first edition, I think.
Oh, really?
And I think this is like a kind of a revised. I'm not sure if it's a full 2.0, but it's like a revised edition.
Right. It's a game I keep meaning to pick up. And
yeah, but Modiphius and Titanforge. So Titanforge has been around, I think they're celebrating their third anniversary. So 3 years of monthly producing amazing both fantasy and sci-fi STLs for printing. And they're basically doing the thing that a lot of people are. It's like the not quite space marines or not quite deep rock galactic space mining dwarves. You know, they kind of do this. You know, it's like their take on things. And so it's different enough, but it's good proxies for a lot of stuff.
Titanforge are also the ones that do like the pinup models. Or am I thinking of something else? I don't want.
I'm not sure if these guys do. I know there are several that do. Like they'll have, you know, a selection. They do busts in some of their packages, but I don't know if they do anything particularly sexy.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else, and I don't want to say.
They're pretty functional, and we've got an ambulance. Yep. But they also do a lot of nice, you know, terrain, you know, scattered terrain and different and ships and things, and so. They've gotten a lot of experience doing this. They do a really good job. The models themselves are, you know, either unsupported or pre-supported. They print really well, in really nice detail. And so this July, specifically, they're really... So every month, if you don't know how these like Patreon STL designers work, they give you... So you sign up for the Patreon, you get a welcome... bundle. It's like, and they keep adding to, so it's just like a bunch of stuff and just a bunch of just random stuff that they've worked on before that covers a bunch of things that they, you know, have already done and may be adding to in the future. And then each month there'll be kind of a theme and things coming out, and it's usually quite a few models. And if you have a My Mini Factory account, they usually just get added directly in there.
I think you usually do have to go, because I belong to like a couple of them, and then I kind of said, okay, well, I'm not really printing anything that much, so let me pull back a little bit. But if you have a My Mini Factory account, you usually get an email and you have to like click a link, but then it does get added to your library.
I've noticed if some do and some don't, so I guess some people have it figured out or maybe have a different kind of account with My Mini, so it works. But it's really handy, and then they're there forever, like your My Mini Factory account. So if you quit and all of the tribe or the Patreon that provide those, they're still there for you always.
Yeah, that's nice. That's why I've decided to like, well, okay, I'm not really printing anything. I want to send my money elsewhere. I'll back out for a few months. I didn't lose the STLs that I have, which I like.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think that's very, very good. And then often, too, what will happen is the previous months will then go on sale on their stores. So you can buy them. If there's like something specific, oh, I can't believe I missed that, or I want that for my D&D character or whatever, you can buy them individually.
You often have a pretty steep steep discount code, too.
Oh, right. Yes. And if you are a patron or a tribe member, you get a good discount at their store. So it's probably worth signing up for 1 month, paying that $10, and then getting more than that in discount from their store. So the July release from Cyberforge, Titanforge is the fantasy themed, is Cyberforge. So Cyberforge, I think there is a level of patron where you get both every month. Okay. So if you really want a ton of STLs every month, so Cyberforge sci-fi minis for the month of July will include a complete 5 parsecs from home crew, some enemies, terrain, and a ship. So they've been working off of. Yeah, ship. It'll be in pieces. I'm sure you'll have to print several pieces. So they've been working from concept art in the core book to create these miniatures. Cool. So you'll get the engineer, the Kieran, Solus, Precursor, Feral, and Swift for your crew. The first batch of enemies will include the converted and the frightening vent crawlers. So so all of this like directly from, so they're not like, you know, doing their own thing saying, oh, you could play this in 5 parsecs. It's actually a collaboration directly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, using that art. And you can also expect to see Kokana's arms make an appearance in the terrain set. So if you played the game, you know what that is.
If like me, you haven't. You're just like, okay, that sounds cool.
Yes. And a bar and a spaceship for the crew. Yeah, so a lot of stuff. So the creator of Titanforge, Ivan Sorensen, is making this special set, and they're also doing pre-generated crew stats for all new players, so you can immediately don't have to like actually roll up these characters. They're already statted out for you, and if you do join this month, you'll also get a free PDF. Along with the miniatures of the rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, so that's pretty cool. That's a pretty good deal. And then, of course, Also included, because this is a collaboration, a 50% discount on 5 Parsecs from Home PDF or physical book from the Modiphius store. So you'll get the PDF, but if you want the Modiphius PDF, right. which I'm not sure if it's different or not, you get a discount from Modiphius. Oh. So this is a very legit collaboration, not just a kind of fandom or anything. So, and then the STL miniatures will then be available on the Titan Forge My Mini Factory store after the fact. So if you miss this in July, if you're watching this later or...
thank you. If you're watching this later, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Why? What are you doing? This was really dated information. and the Modiphius store will also offer the same in the summer. So they're starting to do more and more. I've noticed that STLs, because I think they produce... miniatures for their Kickstarters, but then maybe the distribution and stuff.
Right.
They do it in a limited way, and they're just like, okay, let's keep these on the store and just offer them as print at home.
Yeah, not having to distribute something or being able to distribute things digitally.
Mm.
For business, it has to be one less thing for them to worry about, right? You don't have to store it. You don't have to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You do have to worry about piracy being a little easier, right?
Right. And also maybe you'll get some tech support requests, people complaining about something. My printer couldn't, the finger didn't print on my...
Right. Well, that's on you, right? That's on you. Like, we gave you all the technical specs, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I was really surprised by this, and I think this is the direction. I mean, there's so many talented people doing monthly such great miniature digital sculpts and things, and there's so many miniature agnostic games out there. There's got to start being these collaborations where people start taking advantage of the amount of amazing content, and then maybe even finding someone, one of the services that does the 3D printing as well, so you can order the physical models of these STLs. That are official, that are all officially kind of authorized by everyone involved. That's what should be happening. I mean, that would be much more competitive than what we're dealing with, this like rules chaos of 40K right now. It's like, and all this, like, these big, stupid, slow moving companies that can't get out of their own way, that have garbage, corporate structures.
How do you really feel about GW?
So there's just no communication with the designers. If you can get these smaller, talented groups to be working together, you can get some really good stuff. Just the same way that Frosthaven, Frostgrave, found the miniature, has a kind of their authorized miniature.
North Star. I wonder how that. No idea how that collaboration started, or whether it kind of was from the get go or not. But smaller independent games being able to partner up with miniature creators to produce stuff. I mean, heck, even Turnip 28 had that very successful Kickstarter to produce 3D printed miniatures, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and as it gets accessible, not just you having to do all the printing and stuff at home, but if there are more service bureau kind of a Kinko's type situation where you just pick up your minis.
There definitely are some where I think you can send STLs and. Mm-hmm. They'll print them for you.
Right. Yeah. And I think they need to get that figured out, how that, kind of works, so that people aren't just, pirating, physically printing and then selling, because there are so a lot of these designers have business licenses.
Yep.
So yeah, you pay $10 a month for personal use, and then you pay $30 or $50, and then you can print them yourself and sell them. And they have always a limited number to keep the market being flooded. They have a limited number of official merchants, each of these designers.
Not that I was ever going to be a snitch, but last year, or it doesn't matter. Anyway, going to the hobby store here, the Volk Center, looking at miniatures and going, oh, they got three packages of 3D printed miniatures. I recognize this stuff, right? Look, I didn't know they partnered with this person, right? And then going... looking back and then checking, you actually do. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking about that when you were talking about the Patreon. Most of the creators have a merchant license where it's more expensive, but you're given express permission to be able to sell physical prints of their models, right? And like you said, I'm sure they limit the number of supporters at that tier to make it easier to keep track of kind of who's selling their stuff.
So that they can keep better control. So if that's kind of service bureau or printed kind of thing would work, there would have to be kind of a chain of official handoff and confirming licenses and stuff. Or people would just come in with their hard drive of stolen STLs.
Or that's Or that's the other thing. Like, I'm thinking of books, right? Little mm-hmm. role-playing game books, especially mm-hmm. the Evil Hat books, right? Like, the copyright information in the front is usually pretty funny, but then it says, like, you know, you're permitted to photocopy this for personal use. And then there's something along the lines of, like, Kinko's operator, like, if, like, the person is allowed to do this, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that the Kinko's operator went, like, you're printing off, like, 100 copies of this thing. Right, that's right. So I think that's what it would be, right?
Oh, he was like, just touched to be mentioned, didn't they? He was like, oh, they
wrote me a message. Like, if the service bureau to print things is printing off, like, 100 copies mm-hmm. of the same thing, then maybe it's like, before they start printing it, contact the creator and be like, does this person have a license?
Right, possession with intent to distribute. Yeah. Right, yeah. So, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there to something good happening. It's nice to see, you know, good companies that are doing good things kind of like figuring this out and collaborating. So, of course, the 5 Parsecs is a miniatures agnostic game. They just have they just have artwork in the books, and finally now we have, you know, official miniatures that were sculpted based on that artwork.
That's
so
pretty cool. I'm gonna have to go look at this. That I need more miniatures.
right. Yeah. So check out the July release. So you'll be able to get that all the way up to the last day of July. So, you know, depending on when you're hearing this, or, you know, have the time to take a look at it. That's good. So up to the very last day, you'll be able to add on to that. And you can basically, you know, join for that and cancel. It's not, that's the nice thing about, you know, Patreon and the tribes, is it's very easy to control. That's not like, oh, you know, they're not trying to scam you. It's very upfront about what you're supporting and what it gets you. So very good. Yeah. So, if you are curious at all about that game, this is a really cool way.
I might have to go do that, because I have been curious about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I'm willing to support it at like hardback book level. Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe what I'm going to go do.
Yeah. So it's $10. I think that they have two levels. $5 doesn't get you everything. It gets you like a limited amount every month, and $10 is the full release. And it really piles up. There's so many great things that both, and that was the difficult thing when I because I supported Titanforge for a while, and it was really hard to choose because it's almost like, and this might be intentional, like one month the fantasy is really good, and then the next month the sci-fi is really good. So if I had both, so they really do, and I think they do give you a discount if you're supporting them completely. So I'll put a link to that, the Patreon, and then also the Modiphius page that has all the details about 5 Parsecs.
And you'll also start firing up the printer, right?
And I've got the printer fired up. Yeah, I've already got that going for the Armada. Yeah, the Mantic Armada boats.
Oh, nice.
They've been coming out pretty regularly. So this is their third month of the Mantic Vault, and they're doing a good job. I mean, nice. I think so that was another thing that was kind of the first step in like what companies should be doing, and you know, making things accessible and getting games to be kind of globally popular without having to deal with distribution and, you know, all the things that have kind of broken down after the pandemic. All right, well, since we started off with the delicious Monty Python news, let's finish off with a anniversary edition.
Oh, okay.
So the 5th anniversary. So Rowan Rook and Deckard are releasing Spire, the City Must Fall RPG as a 5th anniversary edition.
Yeah, you got to be careful there.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, not 5th edition. Oh, that would be Spire. 5e Spire.
Yeah, see,
God.
That's what I thought when you first said it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure. That Rowan Rook and Deckard would not do that, right. But yeah.
Whoa. All right. Yeah. Sorry for the scare there. So heading to retail this September, an anniversary edition celebrating the 5th year of this game will be reprinted. So it's the core book with redesigned, including additional content, which will be the Black Magic rulebook and the Blood and Dust scenario, which were previously released as soft cover. So this is kind of everything all in one place. So just a little bit easier to play it for the first time. And if you don't know Spire, City Must Fall, it's the setting is rebel dark elves conducting a secret war against the high elves in the towering city of Spire. So it's a very fun fantasy setting. And I think the thing that they did really well that I love when smaller indie games do this is you use one artist and you have a very recognizable creative identity for the game. So you recognize just seeing the supplements for this game, the illustration and design, you know it's them, you know it's the setting. So very distinctive and very very good design. So that will be out. And another thing that they mentioned in this release, they are also doing, and I was a little surprised by this, I wasn't a big fan of this comic, but they are doing the official role-playing game for Die. So the Dark Fantasy RPG graphic novel, or I guess a series, it's a comic series, by Kieran Gillian and Stephanie Hans. They're also releasing that as well. But yeah, 5 years. I can't believe, because I keep looking at Spire, and there's also, you know, there's been like Humble Bundles and things that have included it, and I keep looking at it, wanting to get the physical books.
I think I have a copy back in the States.
Oh, nice.
Not that it's doing any good here.
Well, you can get the send the fifth edition, fifth anniversary copy to your to the States too. They can sit on top of each other. That was cool to see that they're actually and they've won. There's kind of a whole series, because they have different games set in different parts of the city, and I've been winning awards, like the writing wins awards when they kind of expand on this setting. So I think they did a very interesting kind of take on fantasy.
Isn't one of the other games Heart?
Yes.
Yeah, that was where it's like dungeons, this like ever expanding kind of like living dungeon beneath the city. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from what I hear, mm-hmm. it's set in the same universe, but they're two distinct games.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if it's mechanically distinct, but the idea, I'm pretty sure, like, maybe there's a way to play one of the rebel dark elves in Heart,
right?
That kind of came down from Spire. But if you're playing Spire, the focus is very much, nope, you're a rebel band of dark elves looking to overthrow the pretty evil bright, or like light elves, right?
High elves.
And if you're playing Heart, you're kind of playing a slightly more traditional, like, dungeon delving game, right? There doesn't seem to be crossover between the two games. It's set in the same place, focuses are very different, and you probably won't mix them.
Right.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if the mechanics are the same or not, though.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah, I'd like to take a look at that, because it may be. But yeah, that's a really really fun setting. So yeah, the Rebel Cell are in service of a forbidden goddess of shadows and misdirection, looking to overthrow the government through espionage, magic, and murder. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
No, I mean, games shouldn't be political, right? Except they very much are, right? Yeah, I want to play a game of this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, maybe the fifth anniversary edition.
Oh yeah. Hey.
So yeah,
you still are saying fifth, and my still reaction is like, right?
Every time you grit your teeth. Yeah. So that's out in September, and I'll put a link to that website as well. So wow, that's gonna do it. We started out with a weird one.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. So yeah,
I much rather end on Spire.
Yes.
Fifth anniversary edition. That's how you're gonna say it, right?
Yes, yeah, so I'm currently working on the Spire 5e my conversion.
Get out. Oh, wait, this is your studio. I'll leave.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week.
Yeah.
So, and a quick update, Brinkwatch, day 160. So just in case
we're going to get to 365. Calling it now. We're going to get to 365 and just keep going.
A year of undeserved salary for this guy. Yep. An executive producer should be more aware of his race. And and just step away.
Yep.
All right. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, until that thing just finally completely dies. It's going that way, right? Anyway, that's HiveMind, HiveMynd. I'm also on Instagram, and that's about it for right now. Yeah, mostly now the stuff that is miniature pictures.
Yes, yeah.
If you thought it was hard to take pictures of 28mm miniatures, right. It's even harder to take pictures of 10mm miniatures.
Right.
Especially when you're trying to get the camera close, and you're just like... Anyway, yeah.
Nice.
So how about you?
And I'm still doing Abuse Cartoons, so on YouTube and Twitch, I'm... drawing Domestic Abuse, my single panel gag cartoon. If you want to read that cartoon, go to gocomics.com/domesticabuse and Abuse Cartoons on social media if you want to get updates on when that goes live. And and during those streams, I also eat things from Japanese convenience stores just to break up the monotony. And if you want to support what we're doing here with the weekly, please consider becoming a weakling.
Yes, the strongest of all supporters.
So at patreon.com/upturntable, support us and let us know what you'd like to see more of. Talk to us in the Patreon chat.
Please don't say Monty Python
Zombicide. Yeah, right. No, yeah, that, hopefully that's the last time we'll have to talk about that. And also Upturn Table on social media, upturntable.com for everything that we're doing. There is coming soon the final or the second episode of the Dragonbane quick start that we played. Dragonbane is physically coming out, and I'm trying to get this finished before that comes out. Nice. And I think for July, there might be something special for Mutant Chronicles fans. Ooh. Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. It might be kind of Christmas in July. Yeah, exactly. We're going to do something that happened last Christmas, but in July. So look for that coming up. So that's all for this week. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.